The following is the audio version of a video released at peakprosperity.com. Visit peakprosperity.com to watch the video and to find other insightful content such as articles, discussion forums, and exclusive subscriber-only content.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this Signal Hour. It's so good to be back here with you all. And of course, I'm here with the inestimable, beautiful Evie Martinson.
Hey, everybody. Good to see you.
So good to be back here with everybody. So, so much going on today. This is a really big episode. Obviously, huge things are underway. And I believe that we're in the middle of an actual revolution, one that's going to bring us, I believe, to new freedom, but it could get dark and kind of hairy first. And this is going to be the shattering of old belief systems, the way that our country has been organized, the things we've tolerated, the things we've put up with. We're all leading us down into this cul-de-sac of less freedom, tagged, bagged, basically human livestock, cattle, and we were treated so poorly. So we're going to get into that today. We're talking today about battle lines, good, evil, RFK, what he just came out and said, what Trump has said. And Nick, we're going to have to probably pull this off of YouTube at some point because we're wading into vaccines and all the stuff that just came out recently. Both data, it's real data. It's from Yale University. So we know, of course, YouTube will probably censor that because it's actual data that could help people live a better life and understand what's happening. So we're going to have to get to that. And
do you mind pulling that over just a tiny bit so I can see the chat?
Sure. Let me just make it a little bit smaller if that helps, because I like to have things centered under the there. Can you see? Oh, a little more.
Yeah.
How's that?
Thank you.
All right. Very good. So let's get started with this program. People tend to pile in, so we're just going to start with a little bit of framing up front, Evie, which is this.
All right. Oh. What we got?
All right.
What you got?
I don't do left-right anymore, and I hope other people don't. Left-right is, it's my team versus your team. It's the blue team versus the red team. And I see a lot of people, Evie, that are stuck in that left-right paradigm framing. They're really mad because Trump, right?
Yeah.
And they're really stuck on the blue team to the point that they've lost the ability to perform some basic functions. And I count doctors in this group.
Yeah.
I count politicians and very well-educated people. In fact, the more well-educated somebody is, the greater the chance they're caught hopelessly in this left-right paradigm. And they will do awful things. They will betray themselves, their families, their children, their friends, their colleagues, in service to making sure that they're on the, that their team is scoring points or something. I don't know. I mean,
does feel like the team. I was that? Saying that the other day. I feel like we have this allegiance to whatever team we've chosen, and regardless of what the leaders of that team are saying or doing, somehow that's relevant.
Yeah.
The content is irrelevant. The facts are irrelevant. So I agree with you on that.
I mean,
left, right.
I just caught you in a tizzy the other day because you were at the breakfast table and you were looking at Facebook.
Yeah.
It was a dark tour for you, wasn't it? It's kind of like ground zero of awfulness, isn't
it? Okay, it was a ground tour, a dark tour, and here's why. So a lot of the people that were in my life when I was growing up, people I went to school with, people I went to college with, people I spent my early days with, and then also family and, you know, extended family and such, I see all of their posts and they're all really distraught, very upset, angry, violent, you know, in their words, and completely just in a total breakdown over whatever's happening in the world. And they can't really point to it. And there's no way to have a factual conversation.
I agree. And I think it's because of this, what Jeff is pointing at here, which is, he says, I agree, Chris, this is like the Renaissance after the plague.
Mm.
And the reason I think that's relevant here, Evie and everybody, is because this is a shredding of ideologies. This is a breaking of belief systems. So the Renaissance was coming out of the Dark Ages, and that was the Age of Enlightenment. And you can imagine, Evie, the number of people that were fighting that tooth and nail, right? You think the world is round? We're going to burn you at the stake. You know, there was people like, what do they say in science?
There's some crazy ideology going on.
It was Niels Bohr said, science advances one funeral at a time, right?
That's a good one.
Well, it does, because people cling to their old ideas, right? the doctor Semmelweis, who figured out that, hey, you know what, maybe we shouldn't, you know, go straight from autopsies rooting around in the innards of dead people to live births without washing our hands first, made a lot of sense. He understood the communicability of diseases, worked it out even pre-microscopes. I don't know that they had a good sense of microbes, but figured it out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, oh, he died penniless. Of course, they disbarred him. They hated him. We saw this with COVID doctors, right? Losing licenses, wow. Board certifications getting stripped because they said heretical things like hydroxychloroquine works or ivermectin works, which they did,
yeah.
Right? So this is the nature of the beast, though. And I'm not to say that we're going through anything special. It's very ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
What we're going through right now is that we're going through a time when our core belief systems are getting shredded and new ones are coming on the surface of the planet. And during that period of time, there are always fast adjusters who get there early as fast, all that. And then there's slow adjusters who are just kicking and screaming. And some of them are like those, I don't know if you ever saw, Evie, but there's a picture of the last soldier from Japan, I think, came out of the woods of jungle of Guam, like 1973 or something, right? Just like had been there the whole time fighting
conquered
the war,
down.
Right? Yeah, we're going to have doctors like that. They will go to their graves probably believing that they're right about some things that they're just dead wrong about. And this applies to big things, well, energy, money. Big things happening in the field of money.
I can't wait to hear it.
Huge.
I can't keep up with it.
Okay, if it's not left right, but it's up down, what does that mean? It means this. On the bottom, you have your ideologically rigid people. They can't move on. They are stuck. They believe certain things that are just not true. What? Mm-hmm. I'm going to mangle it, Evie, but what was the Mark Twain, I think, said it best? He said, it ain't what you know that's wrong that gets you.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you know for sure that just ain't so.
I think you did that fine. I think it came out,
I think that's
right.
About right. That was close enough.
Yeah.
We got that one. All right. So this is what I'm seeing. Ideological rigidity. These are the people who believe that, diversity always makes things better without mm-hmm. being able to define what they mean by diversity. These are the people who are saying vaccines are always beneficial. End of story. Safe and effective.
Right.
Without being able to engage with new data as it comes to, these are the people who said live senators, congresspeople,
mm-hmm.
the science is settled. Right.
Indeed. And these are also the same people who would kill our president.
Yes.
Because they don't like his personality.
Correct.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Because his style and the way he speaks offends them. And they believe that violence is justified and called for, and they don't want to have anything scrutinized. They don't want to have us look at the books and
yep.
balance things out. It's really off,
yeah,
off the reservation.
Yeah. And very quickly, we are going to have to cut this feed at some point. I got two pieces, but then we go into, Evie and I will talk about where we are on the vaccine issue. We're going to have to cut the YouTube feed. So if you're watching there, remember, you can find us at x.com. This is live on X right now. It's live on Rumble right now. And of course, if any of that confuses you, you go to peakprosperity.com front page, and there you'll see a little tile. There's all these different pieces of content that we have going because we're a content-rich website. And at the top of that, you'll see Signal Hour. Click in there, and there's a live feed going on there as well. So any of those will get you there. So
great.
If it's, what's the opposite of ideological rigidity? And it's going to be integrity.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
With my definition of integrity that I stumbled across, was given to me by Peter Gallant, rest his soul. He said, integrity means when you have the highest form of integrity, you stand ready to be completely re-educated at any moment. Wow. Hey, Evie.
That's potent.
Everything I thought I knew about us being alone in the universe will change instantly when I see solid evidence that there's aliens, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. I'm not going to be threatened by that. I'm not going to struggle with the idea of like, oh no, my whole lifestyle.
You're going to believe your lying eyes.
Is requiring that not to be true. So let me struggle with it. I'll just go, oh, okay, and move on, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that I practice that ideological flexibility all the time because you have to be able to step into the other person's shoes to
yeah.
begin to know how to frame it correctly. And so I do that.
It's true.
You see
I
me.
Watch you
I do that
it.
All the time.
I watch you go and read the exact opposite of what you might have been studying just to
yeah.
find out what they're saying and to take it on from that point of view. which I think is what makes you a good reporter, a good journalist, a good information scout.
Thank you. I'm trying to find something here, which I think sort of points that out a little bit.
Oh, there's some great comments going by too.
This is really cool, by the way. You can see now I've just pulled up my live X page right now, and you can see, look, says it right here. You just go to Chris Martinson at X and you see it's live, and you can just click that and keep going.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. All right. So, but let me just find this one thing, because this is just hysterical. I want to show you what I mean by the level. So I can't totally cross over to the other side because I don't understand how they think. I can observe it.
Mm-hmm. I feel similarly.
But
I can't relate.
So I fight all the time online, such as it is, with this guy, Neil Stone, Dr. Neil Stone. Here he wrote, RFK Jr. keeps repeating lies, so I will keep repeating truths. Vaccines don't cause autism. And then wow, Kaylee Means, so just under certain. That says, well, what does cause autism? And Neil Stone says, well, I don't know what causes autism.
But it can't be that.
It can't be that. Vaccines don't cause autism, but I don't know what causes autism. This passes for logic for these people. And I can't cross over there because, Evie, I don't know how to connect with that level of disconnect. It's like, did you hear yourself here, Neil? Dr. Neil, did you?
I honestly think they're not thinking critically. It you know, back in the day when you used to have to write your words and mm-hmm. send them in letters to people around the world,
yeah,
it was painstaking, and I think people put a lot of thought into them, if I remember correctly, like reading the few that I've seen. And a lot of individuals really prided themselves on having, you know, wrestled with ideas and come to a place where they really have understood something in every way that they know how. Mm-hmm. I don't think these people are capable of doing that. I think it's just like rote, like muscle memory, brain sort of on autopilot place. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think browse to web is catching on here, but you know, so
what? Oh. Dr. Neil, pay for his comment. I think you're right.
It's possible. But because I think these people deserve ridicule and calling out, this is the intellectual and moral equivalent of saying, Dr. Neil saying, I'm not a racist. I just hate black people. Right. That's literally it's just insane. Like, you can't hold that idea. Right.
Yeah. No, you really can't.
That's like fornicating for virginity. It's just, you know, one of these things.
Make
like
me laugh. You're gonna make me cough.
Okay, sorry about that. All right, anyway.
Excuse
yeah
me, I'm sorry.
I'll let you keep coughing there while we get back to. Okay, that was a little detour. Okay, as long as we're on detours, I gotta get this one out, because this one
I love your squirrel brain, your ADD brain. It's fun.
Okay, because this is just the funniest thing I've seen in a long time. I'm sorry, Evie, you're gonna crack up again. This may make you laugh. So Germany has like been taken over by beta males and weak thinking and
angry harpies.
But this has got to be the funniest thing. This is serious. This is how to defend yourself from a knife attack.
Zum Kopf. Ich treffe den Kopf und die Augen.
Is this real?
Yes, it's real.
Und ich schlage zum Kopf. Ich treffe den Kopf und die Augen.
She's in his blood bubble. There's not a chance.
He didn't even rat tail the towel, or maybe it could hurt for a second. Like, this is unbelievable. Zumkopf. Oh my.
What is he saying?
I don't know. I wish I spoke better German, but wow.
Okay. I don't believe that's real. I need to verify that. That can't be right.
No, it can't be. It can't be.
Oh. No, it makes life boring to think that people are this stupid. It's boring to me.
It becomes less interesting for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, are you playing something?
I am accidentally playing something here. It auto-played. Let me get out of that real quick and get back to our presentation here.
Somebody said, let's see.
Drop the towel and run. Yeah, you're absolutely right. He's already dead, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
You're invading my personal space. Oh, yeah. This works too.
How about this one though? I think you'll like this one.
That was like, which one? Meanwhile, my exactly. That's awesome.
You want to read it?
Yeah. Meanwhile, my 12-year-old daughter practices appendix carry draws. Good for her.
So if people don't know what that is, that's where you've got the gun in your waistband area inside typically your waistband at your appendix, right? And you draw that. Okay.
Well, remember Aurelia was telling us about how in her school she was
going... That's your daughter.
My daughter Aurelia, she's 12. She was going through... it was a health class, and they were talking about how to deal with bullies and how to... It's kind of a woke situation where it was like, you need to tell your feelings, like, I'm feeling very scared right now that you're threatening me, and I would prefer if you didn't. Like, it was just so bizarre and passive and afraid of hurting people's feelings that you would have your butt kicked before you even got to the end of it.
Yep.
Oh, my word.
I think Mongo the Pawn was channeling your daughter's instruction.
Just have the intersectional feminists yell at the stabber about their privilege. Perfect.
You have that knife. You're so privileged. Is that damask steel? Oh, it's very privileged. Okay, so carrying on. So, all right, not left, right. We don't do left, right. It's just up, down, integrity, being willing to change at a moment's notice. It means that you're not wedded to a belief system, which means new data comes along and things change. Mm-hmm. Right. So by way of example, you remember, Evie, so when ChatGPT first came out, nobody even knew what that was. Crazy sets of letters. I was probably a couple months late to it. This was 1.01. This was like the earliest version of ChatGPT. Mm-hmm. I'm a guy. I do writing. I do content. You know, I spent a lot of time on it. I looked at this thing. I spent about 24 hours playing with it. And I called my whole team up and I said, we're out of work.
Right? I remember that.
This thing's going to get like we have to switch how we're approaching this because AI is going to take content over. I don't know how soon, but it will. And it's going to take over screenwriting, poetry,
music.
It's going to take art.
Yeah.
It will. And that's fine. But you have to adjust to that very quickly. The quicker, the better. What we're watching right now in Doge is nothing short of exceptional because we're watching people attempt to cling to stuff that's wrong. Perhaps one of the most exciting moments to me, and we're going to listen in on this. Let me make sure I got the volume levels up properly on. That looks about right. This is RFK Jr. in his first time addressing the HHS senior staff. This isn't long. Let's just listen in.
This is exciting. Last Thursday, President Trump signed an executive order to establish the MAHA Commission to study what has caused the precipitous decline in American health over the past two generations. So we will convene representatives of all viewpoints to study the causes for the drastic rise in chronic disease. Some of the possible factors we will investigate were formerly taboo or insufficiently scrutinized. The childhood vaccine schedule, electromagnetic radiation, glyphosate, other pesticides, ultra-processed foods, artificial food additives, SSRI and other psychiatric drugs, PFAs, PFOAs, microplastics, nothing is going to be off limits. Whatever belief or suspicion I have expressed in the past, I'm willing to subject them all to the scrutiny of unbiased science. I'm willing to subject them all to the scrutiny of unbiased science. That is going to be our template.
That's integrity.
Unbiased science.
There it is.
That's something that will make us all proud of this agency and of our role in restoring American health. Let's commission research that will satisfy all the stakeholders. And for all, let's use protocols that we all agree on in advance and not alter the outcomes of studies when they're halfway through and that they look inconvenient. Let's all depoliticize these issues and reestablish a common ground for action and renew the search for existential truth with no political impediments and no preconceptions. Finally, I want to ask you to think about...
All right. So...
Oh, that was so good.
So that's what integrity sounds like. And it's not on this clip that I have, but I heard from somebody who was there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There was cheering. They were like, can you imagine all those people suffering, like trying to do good work? There are people in government trying to do good work, and they've been caught under this awful machinery of death, despair, demoralization, and destruction, right? Whatever evil took over,
yeah,
it really got us, like Dr. Fauci being the penultimate, like he's mm-hmm. just a figurehead, but he represented the viewpoints of that evil, right?
Yeah, he did.
Hey, we're just going to kill people for fun and profit.
Like a tiny demon.
Yeah. Or maybe even it was just indifference and profit, which is even more more damaging than fun. At least fun, there's the motivation. There was no motivation.
I know.
They were hurting us for a couple bucks. Anyway, so that's astonishing. Okay. So this is what's about to happen. And it's a multi-agency disciplinary thing. It's HHS, but they're pulling together a whole MAHA group. It's going to be everybody. All stakeholders are coming in. They're going to let unbiased science, and you heard him say it. He said, hey, I have my biases. I'm not going to let those run the show. Mm-hmm. We're going to see where the data takes us. That's integrity.
So when you say all stakeholders are coming in, what does that mean? What's your understanding of that?
That means, so everybody who is going to be impacted by this, we should talk with all of them, right?
Oh, okay.
Get everybody in there and, you know, but
it's like the pharma companies, but also
yeah,
doctors, people that administer things, like, I guess a wide body of people
yep.
with all sorts of knowledge.
Yep. Because what we have to do here is what he's really saying. This is actually truly revolutionary. This is the biggest thing ever. What's about to happen here is dismantling belief systems. Our whole medical system is shot through with doctors who haven't learned that washing their hands in between autopsies and births is an important thing to do. They haven't connected that. It's been taken over by the pharma companies so long now that they don't understand anything else. A lot of doctors, medicine is finding out what symptoms you have and finding the right drug for it, right?
Yeah,
that's
in
that's,
the West.
But
that
that's
is
not
the way it is.
Well, think about like we call it medicine, which actually pertains to of or about applying a pill or treatment. Medicine really ought to be about having people be healthy in the first place when yeah. you don't need to intervene and apply something like
that's
that.
Right. That's
that all
right.
got taken over by the Rockefellers a long time ago. It became this sort of what we call allopathic like medicine, which does some great stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, if I'm femorally bleeding or have a heart attack or I'm crushed under a heavy piece of machinery, take me to the hospital. I'm there. Mm-hmm. But if I have a strange rash or I'm run down or I don't want to end up with some chronic disease that requires a lifetime of statins,
mm-hmm. I know.
I'm not going to the hospital for that stuff. Okay.
I know. That would be really scary. I think there are a huge amount of people now that would rather not go unless they're dying.
I know a ton of people. We've lost that faith. So he has to restore the trust, and you bring all the stakeholders. So that's why it's important to bring them all, because the idea here isn't to just say, well, we see it different and cram it down their throats. It's to have them be part of the process,
right?
And say, oh, is that what the data actually says when we run this in an unbiased fashion? Yeah, let's not have red dye number three.
Right. And by creating that transparency, he's inviting them
yeah.
to come along on that journey with him. And
yes.
he's saying, like,
that's
I'll
how
change
you change
my
minds.
Mind.
That's how you change minds. You mm-hmm. lead by example. I will change my mind.
Yeah.
And if I'm him and I'm smart, you know, and I know he's very smart this way, I'm waiting for that moment when I'm wrong and I show and I lead and I model and I say, you know what? I thought X, but it turns out after looking at the science, it's Y. We're going with Y. And you model that for people. Mm-hmm. And then they'll develop their courage to change. Because again, high integrity is the willingness to change your mind or to be re-educated at a moment's mm-hmm. notice. And he's just signaled that. He said, we're going to do this with integrity.
Mm-hmm.
So of course people stood up and are like,
and to admit you're wrong. I mean, as a person, he has that in his life. Like he's willing mm-hmm. to say, you know, I had a problem with drugs and I fought my way out of that. And,
yeah.
you know, he's not afraid to share his struggles. And that makes him credible to me.
Yep. Me too. So, immediately after that, Jim Jones resigned as head of the FDA's food division. And I said, you know, maybe putting a guy named Jim Jones in charge of food and beverage safety wasn't the best idea after all.
Excuse me.
Gonna make you cough. So just having a little fun. If you don't know who Jim Jones is, look it up. But he's the Kool-Aid man.
Sad.
He's the Kool-Aid man. Okay, lots is going to come out of that. And I'm very excited by what's going to come out of that. And it's really impressive having lots of conversations with people behind the scenes all the time, because I'm very deeply connected in through the whole process of what's going on at HHS because of my COVID work and because of other work I've done. Mm-hmm. And I'm following it super close. So I'm looking forward to making a healthy America come about again. Jim Jones. All right. You ready to play some dodgeball?
Yeah.
Dodgeball?
Let's do it.
Some dodgeball. Okay.
Tell me what you want me to read.
All right. This is the Data Republican. You remember Data Republican, lady?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. This is allegedly the mom of Data Republican. I don't know how true that is. This could be an alter ego or somebody not related, but start here.
All right. Data Republican, or mom of Data Republican, says, this post is intended to everyone who is posting a tragic story about government layoffs. This platform is melting down with people losing their minds this past weekend. It's not fair. It's life-changing. It's a horrible position to be in. I get all that, and I am truly sorry for your individual circumstances, but Elon Musk and Doge are trying to save our country. You will land on your feet, but our nation is in peril. If our national predicament is not fixed, we will all go down and your situation will be worse than a job loss. Give Doge a chance and stop whining. I, for one, am sick of reading about it.
Cool. And here's the response from Data Republican herself.
Doge is existential. That's what people don't understand. We're financing much of this with debt and it's only accelerating. I'm doing this because the numbers are undeniable and I want to secure my children's future. There are 2.4 million federal employees. We survived much worse layoffs. And there's a whole chart there.
Yeah, showing that 6.2 million were unable to work because, oh, we had to close them down because of the pandemic.
Oh, yeah. Well, what are
you gonna do? 6.2 million. CBS wasn't wringing its little hankies out over those people. There were no sob stories. But now all of a sudden, because it's government workers, this is like, oh, no, you've assaulted the holy prior. This is like, these are our holiest of workers. These are government employees, you know, and of course,
The untouchables.
The mainstream media is there to protect the religion of big government. Mm-hmm. So now they care a lot. They're like, oh, this is terrible. Government workers? Yeah, government workers. So as a reminder, this is my work in the world. I do this all the time. We have too much debt in the system. That green line is total debt in this country. $100+ trillion. Money supply growing a lot more slowly. GDP growing a lot more slowly. And the government debt, of course, unsustainable. It was going to break everything. This is simple math. Mm-hmm. It's just math. Nothing personal. This is math. This was going to break. And the point was, is it going to break on our terms or some other terms? And what we're seeing now is some people in government who finally can do simple math. And they're saying, wow, we better do something about this while we can. That means we at least get to steer the outcome. Or we just pretend it's not a thing. And we wait until the whole thing just breaks on us in some chaotic, uncontrolled, unexpected fashion, right? Mm-hmm. So finally, we have adults in the room. That's what's happening. And here was, I forgot to pull it in. Shoot, I missed the one thing.
Oh, no.
I will find it. 1 second, because this is too important, because it's what Elon said about this. It might accidentally be later in my slides.
Oh, okay.
But I'm going to just find it right now anyway.
Find it and screen share.
Yeah. So keep talking, Evie.
Somebody was asking, what is the problem with this chart, the one that you just had on? It's going up and to the right, right?
That's Mongo. Hey, Mongo. Yeah.
But I mean, the way that we've sort of disconnected from our GDP, from what we actually produce and what we're borrowing, it's just not, you can't square that circle at the end of the day. And our children and our great great grandchildren someday are going to be saddled with that awful debt.
Yeah.
Which is scary to think about.
I
wish I could see the comments while you're doing that.
Sure you can. Here, let me pull this one off.
Okay.
That's the last one right there. This is.
Yeah. No, I just wish I could like search through them. I'm on the other side of the studio. So Chris has control over all of that, but yeah, it's been a wild ride to be hearing about all these things happening, and I'm actually grateful that you do these signal hours, because it helps me catch up on these things, because every moment that I step away from what's going on, it seems like 10 things happen in the interim and I'm somehow behind, which is
crazy. That's why we keep doing these, because things are moving so fast. This is a revolution. Things are moving so fast.
Yeah.
it's going to be exceedingly difficult to just keep up with all of this stuff, right? And I got to find this because this is important. And the reason I'm spending so much time searching for this is because it really captures what I think is going on behind the scenes. And I love how transparent Elon is because he just tells us what the heck is going on.
Exactly. While you're looking for that, Edward Hall says, train your kids in all kinds of things, working on diesel trucks to computer programming and welding. I agree with you, Edward. I think it's so good for us to offer our kids as many sort of skilled trades that they could get involved in, even if it's not their full-time thing. It's a hobby for now, but I think it's going to be invaluable to have multiple things that you could use to create an income stream and to make yourself a valuable part of a community.
Holy Nick, schmacklers. Nick Elon said, posts a lot.
You will have one egg and you will be happy. Yeah, what's going on? The whole chicken debacle is kind of a crazy nightmare.
Well, why don't you tell people what happened to our chickens? Because I think I smell a rat.
So, all right. So we've had our chickens, Chris and I collectively have kept chickens for many, many years. And this last year, our chickens are now 2 years old. And we went away on our honeymoon. And when we came back, we basically had no eggs from the end of October to, I don't know, like beginning of February. Like it was a really long time. And we had changed their feed to an organic feed somewhere in the middle of that. But we don't put lights on them because we don't really need them to be producing full bore. Because I think at the end, when you do that, it uses up your chickens' sort of reserves of everything and they end up needing to be replaced sooner. So we're not sure what's going on, but it's so unlike chickens to completely stop. Like usually it'll slow down in the wintertime, but you're still getting a handful of eggs here and there. We got absolutely none, which is just
zero for months.
Very strange. And I don't know, just having kept them collectively, like you've kept them for what, 20 years? I've probably had chickens for 10 and I've never seen that, which is just so interesting. So if anybody has any ideas about that, it's definitely not the feed. They don't seem to be sick, so it's just a weird thing.
Yeah. All right. I couldn't find it. It's amazing. I just scrolled through like 150 Elon tweets to find it, and I just got back to last night.
Couldn't find it.
This guy's a busy boy. I don't know what he does besides just tweet stuff and retweet and comment. I don't know what he's doing, but what he said that led me to this in the first place was this whole thread right here was. At the top, Elon had retweeted, and I forgot to grab this on my other computer. I have it, but he said, "Yeah, the government was going broke. We had to do something," and I think that's important framing for this, Evie, because that's how they think, and they're not wrong,
right?
Because they can do simple math too. As soon as you come to this conclusion, this is pretty easy to understand. This is a nation that's going broke. You can't have your debts go up faster than your income forever.
Well, I guess people feel like because it's been happening for so long and nothing's happened, that it's just the way it is. Like I remember hearing about the deficit when I was a kid and everybody was always yammering on about it, but nothing really happened.
Right.
And so I think you get used to that, that chart and you're like, oh, well, what are you gonna do?
Dick Cheney said deficits don't matter. Right. You know, because they hadn't in his lifetime. So, of course, it's immoral and stupid for him to think because it didn't happen in his life.
Wow.
It's never going to happen. Right.
Peanut butter.
Looks like we're going to have Mongo the Pawn on our show because he's just keeps nailing it here.
Oh, I want to be able to bring people in again, like by voice.
We can do that because we're using StreamYard actually allows us to do this.
That would be
awesome. People can just come in through their phones. We supply a link and they can just come right on
that.
In.
That would be really great.
So we will learn how to do that.
All right.
All right. So, by the way, did you see this, Evie? This is my favoriteest thing here.
I'm going
to
read it.
Elon Musk suggests doing a live video walkthrough of Fort Knox. Huh?
That's so great.
I think we could solve the deficit. Make it pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody will kick in $29.90. I would pay. I'm done. Take my money.
Oh, that's... Wow. He's really taking it to the hoop.
Yeah. It might happen. It might happen. You know, it's just, this is really astonishing. So I have a guess. I have a prediction. That's what the vault's going to look like. They're going to be a little stack of bars on the side, and they're going to be poor purity. It's not going to be. All right.
Joe Potter's like, funny.
Yeah. All right. Now, this is fun. So already Doge has been having a huge impact, and Elon, and if we could audit Fort Knox, great. But what about this? Kobayashi letter reporting on the 15th that November 24, the median home price was $699,000. Today, it's $560,000 and dropping fast.
Whoa.
Mass selling.
What is that a signal of?
That there were
creaking and popping.
So a month ago, there were 4,000 homes for sale in the DC area, which is a good selection. Mm-hmm. Today, there's 8,000. So it sounds that's a full 100% increase in inventory.
Wow.
Now, that sounds like a lot, and it is. But consider how many people are getting fired. 4,000 is a drop in the bucket.
Right.
So the point is that when something big and new comes along, the early mover has the advantage, right?
Right.
If you're thinking, I might be part of this crew that wants to just sell the house and get out of DC, mm-hmm. now's a good time. Yesterday was a better time. Tomorrow's going to be a worse time.
Sell the house and get out of Doge.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how that is. All right, Nick, we're going to have to switch now because we're going to off of YouTube. So if you're on YouTube, please come on by, check it out. Again, you can just go to X, click. I have a big red circle around Chris Martinson on X. Click that. You'll be taken right to this same live feed. Nothing will change. Mm-hmm. Or on Rumble. Or at Peak Prosperity. These are all easy ways to get there. Okay, but we're going to have to switch because we're going to this now. And this is going to be a big deal right here.
Ooh. This is spicy.
And this is getting real. Okay.
All right.
The number just dropped. We are now off of YouTube. So we are safe to speak freely.
That's great.
Let's start here. Do you remember this, Evie? This was on Joe Rogan. JD Vance was on there. This was in 2024.
I don't think I do remember.
All right, listen up.
And I took the vax, and you know, I haven't been boosted or anything, but the moment where I really started to get red pilled on the whole vax thing was the sickest that I've been in the last 15 years by far was when I took the vaccine. And I've had COVID at this point 5 times. I was in bed for 2 days. My heart was racing. I was like, the fact that we're not even allowed to talk about that, even, you know, no like serious injury, but even the fact that we're not even allowed to talk about the fact that I was as sick as I've ever been for 2 days. And the worst COVID experience I had was like a sinus infection. I'm not really willing to trade that. And you don't even, you know, everybody that I know, or a lot of people I know, they talk about the second shot that they got of the vaccine was really, made them really, really sick. Well, that's a side effect, and not a side effect that we even talk about enough in this country.
No, it's also, again, we're talking about companies that have a long history of lying and being forced to pay criminal fines, and then we're giving them this exemption from being responsible for any of the side effects.
All right. So there's the vice president of the United States saying, wow, took this shot, and I was the sickest I've ever been. Made me feel really bad. Okay.
And
all right. And that led Thomas Massie to say, well,
revoke FDA approval of the COVID shots now. The process for approving them was corrupted by political pressure, according to the two witnesses I deposed who were in charge of vaccine approval at FDA. Emails show scientists were pressured to approve them so they could be mandated.
Yeah.
Wow.
Remember that? Wow.
Yeah.
So Thomas Massie on the job, of course, he's always correct. Daniel Horowitz reposted that. Look at Dave Collum down here from April 21. I save everything sort of compulsively.
I love that you do.
Yeah.
Dave Collum says, my grad students got all got the vaccine on Sunday and were pancaked. Migraines, massive joint pain, turned on after 12 hours and turned off after another 24 like clockwork.
So since when do vaccines make you sick? You know, that's how you know it's working. Remember they used to say that?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I got clobbered by the vaccine. Oh, that's how you know it's working.
That was a normal thing to hear, too.
Yeah, they don't say that so much anymore because that, of course, wasn't a good explanation at all.
J.D. Vance didn't take the boosters either.
Right.
Viv.
And so here you got Jason, and this is just from today because that's 6 hours. I just grabbed this before we came on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He says, the vaccine was the sickest I've ever been. It created a year of painful breathing issues and other side effects. It was miserable.
Wow. A year. So that's probably microclotting and all those things.
And the worst part about this, Chris, is that those people, when they went to their physicians or their doctors, they just got gaslit. They just had people telling them
terrible
that it couldn't be that bad, yeah, and that they should just relax. And mm-hmm, it must be that you're stressed out or you're making, like, nobody believed us.
Yeah.
And that's just awful. Like, well, when you're sick, to not be believed is
look at
so
Larry
bad.
The logger. And he's a Peak Prosperity subscriber.
Great.
You know, Larry, great
yeah
guy.
He says, five Marine pals from my TBS class died from full healthy to turbo cancers in weeks. All five double jabbed and boosted. Couldn't be the jab because the science.
The science, right? Wow. Lots and lots of stories like that coming out. So, one of the things that, so listen, I'm unapologetically very, very pro what's happening right now. Mm-hmm. And I don't need Trump and his team to be 100% everything I want.
Right.
I'd be happy with 51% and I'm getting about 95%. So I'm like thrilled,
right?
Because we're finally with integrity saying, mm-hmm, maybe we shouldn't have so much waste and fraud. Maybe we shouldn't have non-science be leading decisions. I'm okay with this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very happy. But the one thing that people have said is like, oh, well, Trump, you know, he did. He whiffed on warp speed, right? Mm-hmm. And I think he was misled. And Trump 1 is very different from Trump 2. This
I
is my
so
model
too
on this. Very, yeah, very different, because Trump 1 came in a little bit like Mr. Smith goes to Washington, an ingenue, did not know what he was walking into, and they were ready for him.
Mm-hmm.
And they just right out of the gate, you know, Russiagate. He was paying Russian whores to pee on him and on and just went crazy, right? And he never, it was bad. This time he came loaded for bear. Second, mm-hmm, it's my view that he came up a changed man off of that stage in Butler, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. I take him at his word at that. Three, he's come in totally different. They came in ready for the game and they've been disrupting mm-hmm the deep state really bigly. So this,
last, it's okay for him to make mistakes. He's moving so fast. Like, if some of the people that have been laid off were good people and didn't deserve to lose their jobs, blah, blah, blah. Like, mm-hmm, I feel like we're going to sort this out as a country over the next few years.
Well,
but
people change. I think he's changed.
I think
Trump 2 is different from Trump 1.
I think he is too.
He listens more. He just has a different air about him.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I'm experiencing it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so again, though, one of the biggest criticisms people had is like, oh, he's totally off on this mRNA vaccine. And then we had that scratchy record moment where we had those three grifters, right? Larry Ellison and Miyoshi-san and Sam Altman stand up and go, oh, we $500 billion of AI and AI will be making vaccine cancers out of mRNA. And yeah, Trump just sat there and listened to it. So a lot of people came to me like, Chris,
what is going on?
Is this it? Are we about to get rugged on this whole thing? You know? Watch what happens, always. Watch what happens, how they play these things out. First, you get the little drib out, right? Like, he comes into office. Here's some executive orders. Gulf of America, two genders, right? And already people are like, what? You know? And then next thing you know, it just gets rolls bigger and bigger and bigger. And then USAID gets cut off and people are getting fired. But it always goes like this, if you notice.
Right.
Like, whoosh. Okay.
And what he throws in at the beginning isn't necessarily relevant to what's going to happen in the middle.
So a few days ago, we got this. This is a big deal. On February 15th, today being the 19th, Trump signs an order barring federal funding to schools with COVID vaccine mandates.
That's so awesome.
No more federal funding if you want to have a vaccine mandate.
I love it.
That isn't comporting with somebody who's like a total vaccine, like, I'm going to rug you on this.
Maximalist.
Yeah, and sneak this in. That was my first sign that we're dealing with a very different, something has changed here.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. By the way, can we just talk about this real quick? These are the 19 colleges that still were mandating.
Wow. Should I read them?
Yeah, well, let's number one.
John Hopkins University in Maryland.
They are the one who held and hosted the Event 201
That's right.
Meeting. They're the ones who gave us the COVIDometer. Remember the dashboard with all the cases? Johns Hopkins is like tied at the hip with the CIA, the NSA, and they are a dark university. If you need somebody to whitewash your stupid government program,
mm-hmm,
they're your folks.
Ugh.
So of course they had to keep mandating it.
Of course.
Johns Hopkins.
Wow.
do not pay to send your kids to Johns Hopkins. You're going to have to pay to get them unschooled from whatever dumbass learning got shoved up
them. Wow. So look at these. Swarthmore College in Pennsylvania.
Well, I got the other two pink ones over there because they're actually sort of a trio of colleges.
Oh, okay. Swarthmore, Bryn Mawr, and Haverford College, all in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm. They're the part of that Tri-College Consortium. So
Oberlin.
They've decided to be asshats together. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Oberlin. The music, that's a music known for its music programs. Mm-hmm. Morehouse College in Georgia, Clark Atlanta University in Georgia, Spelman College in Georgia, Goucher College in Maryland, Mount St. Mary's University in California, California State Polytech University, California State University, Dominguez Hills, University of California, San Francisco. Wow, that's a big school too.
Mm-hmm.
New York University, Fordham University in New York, Reed College in Oregon, Wesleyan University in Connecticut. We already said those other two, Amherst College and Pomona College. So Massachusetts made it in there.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so proud.
Yeah.
But it's interesting where these are too, you know? Are you noting that?
Well, I did, and I made, this is just an observation, and I can't make sense of it because, you know, one of the things that happened early in COVID vaccine was that it turned out that that they noted that there was sort of this racial component that Black people, very distrusting of the government in general and medical science because, you know, Tuskegee experiments and they had good reason, right?
They did.
So typically that they were noting concertedly in the New York Times, like, well, how are we going to get Black people to take the vaccine? Because they seem to be against it, which makes this kind of an odd observation because three of those colleges jumped out at me right away. The ones in yellow.
Oh, yeah. Spelman College, Clark Atlanta University, and Morehouse College.
These are traditionally Black colleges.
Oh, that is interesting.
Of the few remaining holdouts clinging to this idea of forcing government mandated gene therapies upon people, heavy sort of predisposition towards Black colleges.
What
I mean, on a statistical basis, this is odd.
Yeah.
This is like a little dot off the chart here. I don't get it at present.
I'll have to follow that. I wonder.
But the larger point is that any college still mandating this shot they should just go out of business. It demonstrates that the college has a fundamental inability to apply either morality, logic, data, or reasoned critical thinking to their decision-making policies, which means
just really
maybe
slow.
They shouldn't be, or they're really slow. Either way, they shouldn't be college educating your precious children. That's just how I see that. So
yeah, that's scary.
Isn't it?
Yeah. It's hard for anybody that has children of college age. We do. And it's scary when you're trusting these organizations to educate your children and, you know, they come back with this ideology that God planted in their brains and they can't think anymore.
Yeah.
And they're really vulnerable at that stage of their lives too.
But guess what? They just got Trump mandated that. It took a president, took a leader to finally say, how about no?
That's
how about
so great.
How about no? Now, of course, they could still mandate it, but they just lose access to federal funding.
Right.
Which is their right, of course. If you can say, oh, no, I don't want any federal funding, then I'll walk because it's that important to me.
So in 4 years
that we do this totally illogical thing that could potentially harm our incoming students. OK,
but they could change this in 4 years if they wanted to. Right.
Yes, this could all be changed back. But I honestly think the Democrats are out of power for at least three more cycles.
Mm.
It's my best guess. Well, whoa. Look what we woke up to today. I don't know if you've heard this yet, Evie.
I have not.
This is in the mail. I haven't been able to verify how they got their sources for this, but this is an exclusive.
All right. COVID vaccine faces ban for all Americans in radical U-turn by Trump team.
Whoa.
That's awesome. Yeah. I just want to like jump up and down.
Yeah. You know, I wish I should have brought that little gif in, which is Joe Rogan at the WWF thing going, you know, like it's that big. So if this happens, this is common knowledge. This is going to send shockwaves across the world. Remember, this whole thing was about getting mRNA into as many arms as possible.
I know.
Worldwide. That was the program. This is extraordinary if this happens. And
what if the damage has already been done?
A lot of damage has been done.
I know, but what if there's worse? scares me.
Well, this is why this is so important, because something is being set up right now, which is really scary, which we've all heard, is that H5N1, and you go on Reddit or Blue Sky, and they're all like, oh no, the bird flu, everybody should wear masks and get that next shot. And they're just champing at the bit to get more mRNA products launched into them. And we're learning some things now, right? And so one of the most important things we've learned about these shots, there are several things that were wrong. Three big ones, okay? Three. This all should have been resolved in proper, long-term, 10, 15, 20-year development cycles, which they short-circuited during something called Operation Warp Speed.
Took the shortcut.
Cut corners, took the shortcut, and gave us something. Three big problems. One, causing the body to manufacture non-self proteins. That's what happens. You put the mRNA in, goes into a cell, hijacks the cell machinery. It makes this foreign protein, in the case of the COVID shots, the spike protein. Mm-hmm. Itself a toxic product, but that's a second issue. But then the cells adorn themselves with these foreign proteins, and the body says, not self, and kills those cells. You get a sore shoulder if it's muscle cells in the shoulder, and they can regenerate. But if that's your heart muscle saying, kill me, well, then you get myocarditis, pericarditis, which results in permanent heart damage. They called it mild for a long time, but there's no such thing. It's scarring dead muscle tissues.
Do you remember how they downplayed that? It was terrible.
Oh, it's mild.
At the time.
It's mild.
Terrible. And the rare. People that were getting like, it were children.
Non-science terms. Rare. What's rare?
Unbelievable.
Right? Yeah. But if this comes to pass, this is crazy time. Okay?
That's so great.
All right.
I hope it does. I hope that's real.
So making foreign proteins, no bueno. Second thing was this LNP delivery vehicle, the lipid nanoparticle, this little nano thing. It's a cationic membrane thingy. It's a fat globule. Cationic's important because your membrane is negatively charged. This thing's positively charged. So when this little thing's wandering around, it finds a cell and dumps its stuff into it. Okay? That's how it gets the mRNA
in
there.
So there's an attraction.
Yep.
Because it's positive and the cell's negative.
But it has two problems. It came, one, preloaded with the third problem in this story, which is it had DNA fragments in it. Injecting DNA fragments into living cells is the stupidest thing ever. When you do an actual genetic therapy, you have a very defined gene. It's an entire thing, and you know what it's going to do. It's going to make a very specific thing, and you get that into the cell, and you've reprogrammed that cell with that thing. There's some potential paths for that. Could be cool. Putting random fragments of DNA in is the stupidest thing ever, because what happens is those are floating around inside your cell, all these random bits of DNA, and your cell gets a little confused, grabs some of those and says, I don't know what this is doing out here, brings them into the nucleus and says,
how can I use this?
I'll put it here. And it tucks it into your gene. And if it tucks it into, say, your P53 gene, you no longer have a tumor suppressor gene, and you now have something called cancer, probably turbo cancer.
Is that the SV40 thing?
Oh, then at worst came with SV40 chunks, right? In a promoter region and an effector region. If you take an SV40 promoter and put that into the DNA randomly, every so often you put it in just the wrong spot and you give the cell a permanent growth signal. It's called cancer, right?
So we're giving, people are receiving that as a result of having this floating around in their body.
That was the problem with the mRNA. I'm not here to say all mRNAs are going to be bad. Maybe we'll work the technology out. But putting it in an LNP that went walkabout, went everywhere in the body, into the heart, ovaries, testes, brain, right? No good. Making a foreign protein in various parts of the body, no bueno. There might be a part where it's okay.
Inflammatory hell.
Right? Two, in getting DNA particles inside the cells is called gene transfection. I used to do this in the lab when I was in the lab. Well, it is. No, this is what we used to like. And you saw me arguing with a doctor on Facebook the other day. He's like, oh, this is not a problem. You eat DNA with every meal. I'm like, yes, but it's on the outside, you knucklehead. That's like saying
it's in your alimentary canal. That doesn't,
of course, every time you eat something, you eat cells and you're getting DNA from the nucleus of everything you eat. Broccoli, cow, bananas, doesn't matter. But that DNA is on the outside of your cells. That's like saying, Chris, bullets aren't a problem. I carry a pocket full of bullets around all the time. Yeah, well, when they get shot into your body, now they're a problem.
Right.
That's the problem. This DNA was being shot inside of cells. It's That's not the same. Metaphor. And there's these doctors like, oh, no, we eat DNA all the time. It's like, how did we get this stupid? How did we forget?
How did we get this stupid?
By the way, every single doctor who says that, is in my permanent probation list. Like, I'm never going to that person.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if your doctor doesn't understand that, they actually don't understand science at all, or medicine, or biology. It's like one of the dumbest things ever. And you can tell why we're not having this conversation on YouTube, because this is like nuclear to
them. It would light it on fire.
Yeah.
I'm curious about something, though. What is the issue, you think, with somebody wrote something about unless you inject your steak? But you know how they've been talking about getting these mRNA vaccines into cattle? What would the issue be in that instance? Because it would be just going through your alimentary canal. Again, like you're saying, it would be...
Well...
Could it hurt you that way?
I don't think so, unless somehow, you know, they inject it and it's still wandering around in that you still have LNPs. And then somehow you were eating the vaccine they had given the cow. And then you got like whatever the cow product was in you. But they would probably have something where they would say, okay, if you inject one of these, you can't eat the cow for 6 months or something. Because by that time, all the LNPs are gone.
Allegedly,
right? If they did proper science, which they wouldn't, right? We all know right. that.
Well, now but they the might, though.
This but the thing I'm worried about is that we're going to be doing things to cows that are interrupting normal biological processes, and we won't know what the impacts of those are
for a long time. Yeah.
And the problem is if you give these LNPs and they go into the ovaries and you disrupt the germ cell line by getting an insertional mutation in it, that is a permanently disrupted cell line.
Like you, all the ancestors or all the
decedent ancestors. Descendants.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
That thing.
They would all need to be destroyed. Yeah. Holy moly.
It might not work. I mean, you could create sterility.
Right.
Like
this is happening in people too.
It is actually, unfortunately. I mean,
there are a lot of miscarriages. People are having babies that don't make it. There's a lot going on.
All right. Well, this is going to be huge because the vaccine people have a religion, Evie. They are religious nuts. And they just say, oh, vaccines are always good. And are you an anti-vaxxer? You know, it's just this, they get this religiosity around them.
Yeah.
They're totally resistant to data. And one piece of data I'd like to get from them is 62 is when I was born. Look at this. That's what we got then.
Hey, you didn't have barely any jabs.
I know. That's what we got. And somehow we survived.
I know. You're healthier than I am.
It's true. Somehow we survived, and even still, you came along a little better time because you had that's closer to your birthday there, so you had more.
Yep.
And but now look, if you come into the world now, look what they give you.
Wow.
Anyway, we don't know. We literally don't know what any one of those actually does. None of those have been placebo-controlled trialed with saline on a long-term durational study.
And so they just,
let alone in combination,
come up with something fun that sounds kind of cool, and they're like, "Ooh, let's add it to the vaccine list."
Well, you know what's going to be worse? This is why this is going to be a really astonishing moment of breaking people's belief systems, because we're going to find out not only are vaccines not automatically magically good and delicious, we're going to find out that pharma companies gave them as loss leaders, knowing that they would sell more products downstream, which explains now. Have you seen this?
So gross.
Blue Cross Blue Shield out of California will give doctors up to a $40,000 bonus for making sure that X percent, 75% of their patient population, if they're a primary care doctor, has been vaccinated on schedule. You don't make 40 grand off of these vaccines. They go off at about $100 a dose, right? So they're actually losing money incentivizing doctors to give vaccines. Now, why would they do that?
That's weird.
They do that because the doctors are in the business of selling drugs. The doctors are the frontline shock troops of getting people on a lifetime of medications, mostly. Yep.
And they know that they're going to make you sick.
We'll lose 40,000 on the front end, but we'll make 400,000 on the back end. It's a marketing plan with sickness in the middle.
Oh, that's sobering. That's really, Satanism.
So when we find that out, though, imagine how pissed off people are going to be. Imagine. You know what's going to happen? There are going to be people who formerly thought, I'm an esteemed doctor, and they've just been following the pharma script, and they hadn't thought it through, and they forgot to read papers once they got out of school, and they just were
That's
turning
like
the crank.
Father.
You know, people like that. There's some of them are going to start looking over their shoulders, trying to get back to their cars through the parking lot at night, because they're going to have thousands of patients who may be angry with them. Right? That's what could bubble up. So, check this out. This just came out on February 18th. Today's the 19th. This came out yesterday. So this is a preprint, has not yet been peer reviewed. But first thing I want you to notice, the title, Immunological and Antigenic Signatures Associated with Chronic Illness After COVID-19 Vaccination. But look where this came from. Yale.
Yeah.
Serimmune.
Oh, wow. All the affiliations.
Cohen Center, PolyBio, Yale, and Howard Hughes. This is a heavy study.
In New Haven.
Yep.
Tons in New Haven, Connecticut, too.
Yep. And by the way, if I could point out, Yale, because I save all this stuff reflexively. Don't ask why. In 2023, they said, oh, an NIH-funded Yale study of the most common adverse effects from COVID. Look at that stuff.
Wow.
Exercise.
Oh, sorry. You want to read it? I'm like, oh, what? NIH-funded Yale study of most common adverse effects from the COVID-19 injections, exercise intolerance, excessive fatigue.
I know a lot of people have had that.
Numbness.
Yep.
Brain fog.
That's a
which
big
is
one.
Awful.
It's nasty. Yep.
Neuropathy. And 50% or more of participants experienced insomnia, palpitations.
And there was more.
Et cetera.
50%+.
That's a lot.
So Yale was noticing this stuff. So then they put out this study. Immunological antigenic signatures. Yeah, you want to know what this is? This is bad. Stock Rizzer just sent this to me this morning. Thank you, Stock Rizzer.
Kevin
I love
McKiernan,
that.
Too.
Yeah, he tagged a bunch of people. Yep. Summary, it's not AIDS, but it's not good either. Let me take this one because it's got the science stuff on it. So they said COVID-19 vaccines have prevented millions of COVID-19 deaths. You have to say that. That's like
that's your pledge of allegiance.
It's the catechism at the beginnings as you approach the altar. You have to say that. As we all know, COVID-19 vaccines have prevented millions of COVID deaths.
Mm-hmm.
But you can usually ignore everything after the but, right? Yeah. Yet a small fraction of the population reports a chronic debilitating condition after COVID-19 vaccination, often referred to as post-vaccination syndrome, PVS. Oh. So it has a name now. So they looked at this. They conducted a decentralized cross-sectional study involving 42 PVS participants, probably from their experiences here, and 22 healthy controls enrolled in the Yale Listen study. Now, compared with controls, PVS participants exhibited differences in immunological profiles, right? Immune profiles, including reduced circulating memory in effector CD4 T cells, type 1 and type 2. That's exactly what you see. You see an imbalance between CD4 and CD8 in AIDS. Their white blood cells or immune systems have been upended.
Wrecked.
Just wrecked. Okay. Wow. Worse, check this out. PVS participants also had lower anti-spike antibody titers. So these are vaccinated people. They have the syndrome.
They have less protection.
They do. So how many times have you heard this? Dude, I don't understand. My cousins are all COVID vaxxed and boosted and they get COVID all the time.
They're sicker than
because they don't have
else.
Circulating anti-spike antibodies.
Wow.
They can't mount a proper immune defense. That's what this
so
says.
Scary.
Their white blood cells are whacked and they're not making antibodies against a replicating virus, which is the worst thing you can imagine. You want when you have a so detuning your immune system is okay if you're getting exposed to pollen, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get hay fever, but over time your body's like, okay, that's not a thing. And it makes IgG4 antibodies like, just don't get excited about the pollen. I know it's there, but dial it back. That's okay. What's happened with these boosters is it's the same thing. It's getting repeatedly assaulted. And the body's like, well, then I guess we can just ignore this. And then you get exposed to COVID. And now you have no defense against it. And here's the science. Science, bitches. Right?
Yeah. Bring it, baby. Bring it.
Well, this is what RFK was talking about. This is what we're going to do now. We're going to have science come to the table. And you get a paper like this. And the first thing you should be doing is like, okay, we might have fucked up.
Well, yeah,
you know, this is bad.
It's really bad. And question is, can you heal this? Is this like your immune system is screwed for the rest of your life?
I don't know.
Like, are the people we know that keep getting COVID, are they going to be getting that forever and ever? Amen.
I don't know. And remember, we were talking with Dr. Keith Berkowitz about all of this stuff, and in his practice in New York, where he sees he's a very, very, very busy practice. So he sees a lot of it. And he said, one of the things he tests for early on is for Epstein-Barr virus, EBV. Mm. And look what they're saying here. Serological evidence of recent Epstein-Barr virus reactivation. So that's the monovirus. People like lethargy. I'm tired. I had that. All that stuff. What's happening here is that your immune system, we all had mono, you know, if you made it through, it's called the kissing disease. We all got exposed at some point, but your body saw it, fought it and hid it away, but it didn't defeat it.
Right.
It's just, but it was put
in
a closet.
Deactivated.
Yeah, it's in a box. It can't really get out of that box. Nothing it can do. But then when your immune system gets trashed, Now you get what they call a reactivation, right? Get the reactivation off of that thing. So that was observed more frequently in the PVS participants. Further, individuals with PVS exhibited elevated levels of circulating spike protein compared to healthy controls. Now, where's the spike protein coming from? Hmm. Dude, these mRNA vaccines don't have an off switch for some people. These poor people are still manufacturing spike protein, sometimes year or more after getting boosted.
Oh my gosh.
And that spike protein itself is toxic. And that spike protein
to other people too, right? Shedding?
Don't know about that. I mean, there's a lot of evidence, but I can't account for that. But I can tell you that, I'm open mind on that, but we're going to have to get more study. But for sure, remember all those white blood clots that they were finding in postmortems, right?
The embalmers, calamari ones.
Those big nasty white clots. Yeah. They're still finding them. Like they're still finding them. And that's because the spike protein initiates a clotting cascade because itself is toxic.
Right.
The LNP was toxic, bad idea. The DNA being shot into cells, bad idea. The circulating spike protein, bad idea. So these findings reveal potential immune differences in individuals with PVS. That, of course, merit further investigation. We better understand this, right? But I love that. Of course, COVID-19 has prevented millions of deaths, but it gives you something that's kind of like AIDS, right?
Excuse me.
And we call that, now that goes by the acronym for a lot of people, VAIDS.
V-A-I-D-S. VAIDS. So, I used to never get sick, says the Blue Room. After my COVID-19 vax, I've caught every cold and flu since. Just been non-stop sick. And with my vax injury, it's beyond intolerable. My immune system has been fucked. I'm losing steam.
Yeah.
That's so awful.
And here's why. Blue slots. Here's what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Your CD4 and CD8 counts have been wackadoodled. And it's not in your imagination. You are getting sicker than people who have not been vaccinated.
But you'll get gaslit still when you go to the doctor for that.
You will get
it's
gaslit.
It's not common knowledge enough yet, I don't think.
This is just from February 9th here.
Aubrey says, to anyone who doubts that the COVID vaccine is straight up poison, my brother and his family are sick all the time after several jabs, and I fear for his life every day. My mom's brother's wife has died recently. She was healthy, then suddenly couldn't even walk a mile.
Yep. Wow. Very common. Very common.
That's awful.
And it's not just one thing. It's not like one thing has gone bad.
Right.
This is a wholesale immunological assault. Your immune system keeps everything sort of functioning. Worse, if the LNPs went around and lodged in the heart and caused your heart cells to manufacture foreign protein and your body attacked your heart cells, you're losing breath and you don't have a lot of energy because you don't have as much heart tissue as you used to have.
Wow.
It's bad. It's
that
bad.
That's why it happens.
It's that bad.
Wow.
And so this is why today, when they are saying, oh, H5N1, we better rush out an mRNA vaccine and get everybody because bird flu, it's the biggest PSYOP piece of junk you've ever heard. It's stupid. Mm-hmm. It's just absolutely dumb. A hard no for me. Don't take it.
Don't take it.
Pro tip. Do not. I know you wouldn't, everybody listening to this, but just don't. Do not do it. Mm-hmm. So. And, you know, December of 24, just a month and a half ago,
from the Scottish News, vax horror traumatized Scots, quote, gaslit by health bosses after horror complications from COVID vaccine. Some are unable to work, bedridden, and others have even dodged death after being diagnosed with severe problems.
Yeah.
Wow. And this was back in December.
Yeah.
2024.
Yeah. December.
Unbelievable.
Isn't
that? This is unreal. I mean, we definitely need a reckoning.
Yep.
I think if, honestly, Chris, I think Trump could very well be the person, because he has integrity, to go back and say, you know, that wasn't the right thing. I thought I was doing what was best for the American people with Operation Warp Speed. Mm-hmm. But I've since learned that I was, you know, pressured, manipulated, blah, blah, blah. And that the people that I was working with weren't who they said they were. And here we are. And I'm very sorry. And let's get justice. Could you see that happening?
I could. And you know, he's been a man of his word so far. So when we look at this, this is a really big deal. Mm-hmm. This may be a trial balloon. It may not be true. They may have gotten the reporting wrong. I don't know. I haven't been able to verify this through any sources I have. Not that I've got super great sources, but they're okay.
That's definitely interesting, though.
If we did get this, right? And of course, you know, Trump is a man of his word, because remember, Kennedy said, listen, I just got a handshake from him. And I'm going to, he said he was going to nominate me and stand by me. So I'm going to go with that. A lot of people are like, dude, don't, you can't trust him. He'll pull the rug on you. He didn't.
No.
And now RFK Jr.'s in there, and he's going to finally give us the science, and it's going to be awful.
I know.
What we find, because we're going to find out that a lot of people who did know better intentionally misled us about things like autism. But it's not even that. Autism is a very severe, obvious defect, but our children are the least healthy they've been in a long time. So these are people who willingly sickened children.
And killed them in some cases with SIDS and...
Without a care in the world.
Sudden adult death
with complete
syndrome.
Indifference, right? Oh, the Holocaust was the worst thing ever. You had these murderous things. This makes this, that this is even worse.
Oh,
by far.
And this is global.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, countries all over the world decided to give these shots.
Well, yeah.
It's not just here in the U.S.
Not true. China did not give mRNA to its people.
Ooh.
Russia didn't give mRNA to its people.
Well, Russia's
they gave adenovirus vector. They had the spike vac, the whatever it was
spike
called.
Vax
that,
or something.
No, that was Moderna's, whatever. But it was, yeah, they didn't. They used just standard vaccine technology, which we've had for a while, right?
Which maybe isn't as effective, but better than getting this other crap.
If we'd had honest science, you know, I'm not against necessarily all vaccinations, obviously, but we would have said, wow. This one kind of sucked. Maybe we could come up with a different anthrax vaccine or a different smallpox or a different flu or a different. We're probably going to get to the end of this and discover that highly mutagenic RNA viruses, right?
Mm-hmm.
That are constantly changing themselves, like coronaviruses and like flu viruses, like what are you going to do? Right.
Yeah.
It like trying to immunize with a vaccine in the face of these highly mutagenic things is stupid.
In the middle of it.
Because by the time you've made the vaccine and given it to people, it's already on to version 12.
It's already mutated 18 times.
And worse, your vaccine is teaching it how to evade it, whatever vaccine you have.
That's right.
So it's stupid.
Right. It is stupid.
Like DNA viruses, you can actually vaccinate against, right? That's because they don't change.
Yes.
They're very stable.
There's a scientist who was talking about this during the pandemic too.
Yeah.
Vanderbosch, what was his name?
Oh, Geert van der Bosch. Yeah.
Yep.
So that's kind of so that's what I've seen. Mm-hmm. That's what I've seen happening here.
Wow.
I think that's where we're at. So
this is a big deal.
Oof, so
it's
for
a lot to take in.
For everybody listening, Signal Hour, Evie's got something she's gonna read here. And if you want to find that.
Yeah.
That'd be great. But the Signal Hour is where I'm doing my level best to condense everything. Well, here's what I do in the world. I spend way too much time on X and reading newspapers and trying to figure stuff out because I think information is power. And this is an actual moment of true revolution. I happen to believe in the model of the fourth turning. We were just discussing this with our subscribers a while ago. In fact, one of them, a Dr. Bruce Dales, had this really great comment that caught me. And I just talked about it with my tribe on Friday over the weekend. And this past weekend, and he said, look, the fourth turning, which is the model by Strauss and Howe, the fourth turning period, there's four separate turnings. The fourth one's crisis. And it sounds bad because, you know, people lose faith in institutions and usually big wars kick off during that era, that seculum. But he noted, did you notice after each one of those turnings, the period that follows next is offers us better, more freedom than we had before? So that's what's actually, I think, in the cards, if we do it right. That's why I'm leaning so hard into breaking the old so we can get time to till the soil so we can bring the new, greater freedom. And one of the biggest freedoms we need is freedom from a predatory system of money that turns us into slaves. Debt money makes us slaves. Property taxes make us slaves, right? Mm-hmm. I believe people should be able to buy property and own it and not rent it from their local government because that keeps you on a treadmill. You have no freedom if you can't decide, you know what, I don't want to play the game anymore. I'd like to just live on my property, right? And not have to pay the government for that right. And income taxes too, also a form of slavery.
Yep.
So once you see that and you understand the role of the money system, these are the kinds of things we talk about. My favorite quote from Leonardo da Vinci is everything connects to everything else. Learn how to see. So that's what we do at Peak Prosperity. I invite you to come join us. We have a great community of people, but vaccines, and money and energy and philosophy and spirituality, it actually all connects. And that's what we do. And it makes it more fun. And I have to warn you, though, if you come join our community, you're probably going to find most of your friends boring as shit.
after that,
it's just a problem. Yeah. It's a hazard of the business, but you get to hang out around really cool people who are doing awesome stuff. And what defines us is we're curious people. We have that curiosity, and we know we're part of the creator class, because the people who are in the game are those who have the least ideological rigidity, have the highest integrity, and have a clear sense of what they want to do. So that's what we do. Evie,
that's an invitation.
Take us home.
All right. What I'm reading to you today is an excerpt from, and this is sort of what I do, which is to distill everything down to what feels like the meat and bones of it all. Like, I just want to get to what really matters. Not that this isn't important, what we've been discussing today, but that, you know, beyond that, we all have lives and we all have other things going on. And, you know, we're very complex beings having an incredible experience here on this earth. And, I take that part seriously too. So, this is written by Rupi Kaur. I'm probably not saying that right. It's an excerpt from Milk and Honey. And it says, most importantly, love like it's the only thing you know how. At the end of the day, all this means nothing. This page where you're sitting, your degree, your job, the money, nothing even matters except love and human connection, who you loved and how deeply you loved them, how you touched people around you, and how much you gave them. I thought that was a good reminder.
Beautiful reminder. Thank you. And I'm going to leave everybody with one last thing. Grow some food.
Grow some food.
Yes, please.
Yes, indeed. Is that your one last thing?
That is. That's one last thing. All right. Thanks.
Plant a garden.
And bye, everybody. The signal hour turned into an hour and 21 minutes. But hey, that's how we roll sometimes. Whatever needs saying gets said. So,
and thank you for being with us. We appreciate that you take time out of your busy life to spend an hour with us. So
fantastic. Until next time. Bye for now.